Hi, everybody. Thank you for tuning in on our webinar on the challenges facing global investigations and whistleblowing. Happy that you are all here today, and we are super excited to discuss this important topic with you. And I want to ask you, if you have questions, please ask them, and we will try to come with a straightforward answer. So today, I'm here. I'm Maurice. I'm the CEO and co-founder of SpeakUp. And in the last years, I've been much involved in elaborate conversations with compliance and investigations professionals across the globe. And really looking forward to discuss the topic of investigations and whistleblowing with Martijn Bonen today. Martijn, maybe you can shortly introduce yourself.
Yeah, thanks, Maurice. And thanks for having me here today. In my role as a senior consultant on the topic of SpeakUp and whistleblowing, as well as management of investigations, I've been talking to a tremendous amount of large, complex multinational organizations with extensive processes in place. And that has given me quite some insights, and I'm really looking forward to share those with you today.
Thank you, Martijn. So maybe to start with, together we have been talking to these investigations and compliance professionals over the last years. And why is why do we see, let's say, investigations professionals being more and more engaged when it comes to, for example, selecting a new whistleblowing mechanism and case management system?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question to start the conversation, right? Because when really the topic of whistleblowing really hit off in the early 2000s, there was almost in no company an actual whistleblowing management process in place, because most companies were not having even a whistleblowing tool, right? And if there were issues, then there was not really a fully professionalized investigation process there. So it started maybe even with not really an investigation into resolving issues, but an investigation in what should we sweep under the rug, And nowadays is entirely different due to the various legislations and regulatory developments that we have seen, but also the professionalization of these processes in the companies themselves, where we see more and more, especially in the larger organization, that there are specific investigator roles now also part of this process. And obviously they carry a heavy part of this, because some of these companies happen to work on thousands of reports per year. So they have an entirely professionalized team dealing with that, and also with the investigations into some of those more significant issues. Yeah. And this is why they find it really important, because what we also see is that companies want to have the whistleblowing part, so like the raising issue part, they want to have it fully integrated with the management part, so the case management or investigation management part.
And triaging.
The triaging and managing that process. So we can talk later about how does the process generally look like, but the fact that it needs to be integrated and one smooth process, that is why we see the investigative professionals more and more really to the table, or also selecting the actual system where it starts.
Sorry to interrupt you, but I think it's an interesting insight you share about the last years, that we see a more and more engagement of investigations professionals when we discuss global whistleblowing. And I understand that whistleblowing cases needs to be triaged by an investigations department. Can you also maybe say that organizations over the last years have been becoming more matured when it comes to investigations? We have this, sometimes we say an organization has a higher, let's say, compliance maturity when there is an investigations department. Yeah. How do you reflect on that?
Yes, good point that you mentioned it. I would say that this is really the case, because the investigations team has a fundamentally different role than a compliance team, right? Investigative team is fully focused on, there are accusations there, and they seem credible enough to warrant additional work and look into those accusations. So let's do that. And that's kind of their total focus as a team, where as a compliance officer also has all kind of other roles and responsibilities, of course, in educating the company, managing policies, procedures, things like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, you could definitely say that if there's an investigation team in place, it often has to do with either really high development on risk management or in general maturity on compliance and of course management of ethics and integrity there.
Yeah. And today we are talking about the challenges you as a compliance or investigations professional are facing when handling whistleblowing cases. Martijn, what are the challenges to global investigations you recognize?
Yeah, so what has struck me in the last conversations that I had is that having a fully reliable environment where you can really handle from start to end your entire process in the way you want it as an investigator, and that in the way you want it is a crucial part there. This is really something.
In the way you want it, you mean then flexibility or?
Yeah, so there has to be flexibility there. But, you know, because it starts, of course, with having adequate procedures in place, right? And this is, in principle, comes from the compliance perspective. Like, oh, if you are doing investigation, if there is a report, we should demonstrate that we have a due process of dealing with that. But to actually do it in a best practice way, you must go much further than those adequate procedures. And luckily, we see that a lot of organizations also want that. But in order to organize that in a large multinationals where you have teams in seven continents working together and you are responsible for having a global overview, and then this becomes challenging. And then you become really reliant on a technical environment, right? A system.
Yeah.
So this is one of those challenges. The other one is that once you have your basic system in place, it probably needs to change quite regularly as well because of changes in how the organization is structured or internal governance elements that M&A. Adapt. You might be involved in M&A activities,
yeah.
Acquiring other businesses that have a different way of working, but also obviously various regulatory changes that will influence how and when a report can come in and how does that then, you know, flow into the process of those investigations. So all of those things make life challenging for the investigative professionals and the teams responsible.
And maybe I was traveling last month and I was speaking to a big multinational and it was quite interesting for me. It was a large corporate multinational operating in I think it was more than 40 countries. And I was speaking to the global head of investigations, to the chief compliance officer as well. And what struck me was the fact that somebody from outside was calling in as well in this meeting, and that was a local head of investigations. And we were discussing the challenges from a global perspective and a decentralized perspective, because that daughter company and that local head of investigations, he had his own Excel and his own way of working. And I think what in my career in my time as a lawyer and in investigations, I was supporting investigations people from multinationals. And one of the biggest risks we saw was that if you are locally handling the cases in your own way, there is a big risk that information doesn't end up at global level. How do you see that?
Yeah, I think this is a striking example of where some of those challenges that I was mentioning, that on a local level, somebody does not have a trust in the system and therefore starts building their own process to gain their sense of control over, because they have their responsibilities. They want to know who is responsible for which case, who is doing which interview, and things like that. Of course, ideally, you see that all centralized in one environment where you just have two or three clicks in the system to get overviews like that. And obviously, you want to rely that you have a process in place where people feel comfortable that whether you are, you know, having the role of a global head with a central function, that your needs are covered, but also the needs of the more people with, so to say, boots on the ground that have to do those investigations on a daily basis, and it'd be covered as well.
And I think that's challenging because we have, when we talk about global whistleblowing and investigations, you have all kind of requirements. But I'm also a technology passionate person. I love technology. And when we look at the tech in 2024, we see over the last years a steep development in the possibilities. For example, when it comes to workflow design, and what would you, if we have our listeners here, what would you advise them? And then I'm basically hinting a little bit on designing your global workflow, and then engaging your local compliance hats and teams to adapt to that process.
Yeah, exactly. So this is why you need a system to support you, right? If you have a team with 50 or sometimes even 100 individuals working on a similar process, everybody knows that if you then just give people a Word document with a few guidelines, that everybody will come up with a different way of writing an investigations report, or you know, different main properties of the case that they think are relevant to draw statistics about. Of course, you should talk about that as a team, but then in the end, you should have a process that is standardized. And this is crucial. And I have spoken to a few and responsible central individuals, and they had really a big problem because their system allows some of the local handlers to close a case without having supplemented the actual evidences that they did their job and things like that, because the system doesn't have a blocker, for example, built in to say, well, where is that attachment in which you demonstrate that the interview was performed or something like that. So with a workflow system, you can guide that, of course, and then you can make sure that somebody cannot close the case.
So that's about global insight in also the local processes.
Exactly. So you have to understand the local processes. Then you have to design, of course, a way that covers the needs of the process in APAC region or in America's region. But once you have that in place, you know, then everybody can work in a system and everybody keeps track of the same information and fills out the same data fields.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, exciting, because if you have then standardized this process, then you get, of course, an extremely robust data set.
Yeah, and that the data set is, I think, if you ask me what is one of the big trends over the last years when it comes to whistleblowing or compliance, I think collection of data and extracting useful reports out of that, I think it's vital, because that is the steering information. I believe you as a compliance and investigations department should also deliver to, for example, the board of directors and say, hey, this is happening from a risk profile or another perspective in our company, and let's act upon it.
Yeah, exactly. And it goes further than that. What we discussed now with organizations is they say, we also want to be accountable for, you know, our efforts and what do we contribute to the organization. So they don't only manage an accusation and the accusation is substantiated or not, they also want to demonstrate, okay, but out of these accusations, how many managers of seniority level X were involved in 2023 or accused, or, you know, and how many control weaknesses have we observed in the root cause analysis? And, you know, let's bring that information also to the table to demonstrate the value of doing quality investigations, because a quality investigation is, of course, also in that kind of way related to some internal audit element as well, which is super interesting and can provide a lot of value for the organization. If you find out that a very crucial process doesn't work and people are able to bypass it, and I know somebody's buying or signing contracts which they shouldn't be signing and
exactly
things like that, that brings also value to the organization in a completely different way, that it's not really related to the management of ethics and integrity, but has great business value as well.
Interesting. And I see a question coming in from a global head of investigations, and I immediately see the buzzword AI. We've been discussing AI, I think, Martijn, in the last year. That was basically the most used word in our department here, I guess so. But I truly believe it is vital. And as a technology passionate person, I believe it is a game changer. And I see a question coming in. Basically, I'm going to ask a question to you is, when it comes to global investigation processes and global investigation management, how could organizations and then in particularly the head of investigations and a team benefit from AI in a case management system?
Yeah, well, I think it's a really good question, and we definitely have some thoughts about this, of course. And what I think is the main contributor here is that the AI can kind of function as a basic triaging tool already at a really early stage, right? Because at basic triaging, it's all about what is the actual accusation being made? Do we have the concrete information of the persons that are being involved or accused? You know, do we have their names? Do we know who we should look into? But also basic information like, oh, which plant is this case taking place? And some elements like that. And an AI can really function as a conversational partner for a potential reporter, for example, in which the AI can request that information, not in that traditional old school format of this big questionnaire, but in a style of a conversation. And the benefit, of course, is that the AI is really quick and can do that instantly. And out of that, you basically develop your initial triage moment on instant, so that it's already known what kind of policies might be flagged. It's already known to which location it pertains.
So they basically
saves a lot of time.
Yeah,
time is always really relevant for the investigations team, because most of them have relatively short time frames, maybe 2 or 3 weeks between start of the case and, you know, demonstrating an outcome, like what was the start to closure times.
So it's efficiency.
And that will bring a huge amount of efficiency, so that also you guide away the reports which are not that significant, at least not for the investigations team, right? Sometimes people find the whistleblowing tools to complain about salaries, you know, or holiday hours, grievances that are relevant to deal with, but not by an investigations team. And AI can also route those
to HR,
another,
for example,
response
to an HR department,
exactly, or compliance.
Yeah. And so interesting what you are describing here, and how I also see AI contributing to compliance teams. And basically, I think rephrasing what you just have explained here is that in investigations, you have all kind of these fixed processes, right? You always want to know involved persons, a location, a time frame, the basic elements of fact checking, right? Because that's where an investigation starts. And so basically, what you say is that with AI, you can automate these fact checking elements into a process. And that,
yeah,
I think the basic level of quality of your reports, there is a basic level. And sometimes I think over the last years, what we maybe together also have discussed oftentimes is that the basic level of quality sometimes is too low, because those typical elements are super difficult to fact check, and AI can help you to gain that information more efficiency, maybe.
Yeah, absolutely.
More quick, more fast, I want to say.
Yeah, and what I would say the biggest contributor to this concept for the investigation management process is that the starting position for where the investigator starts is more complete, more solid. So you have more clarity on, okay, there are two or three people, and what are their names?
Yeah.
You know, and normally you can also find that out, but it will take a while to have that exchange through the anonymous communication mechanism that the whistleblowing system should facilitate, obviously. But that will take a while. You also have that information, but the AI can manage that into a shorter time frame, so that the starting point is more complete and your investigation can kick off in a higher gear straight away.
Yeah.
Efficiency is definitely a key word there. And also resource-wise, that will allow the investigators to spend their time on the truly significant cases directly and not spend also a lot of time in building the first foundation.
Okay.
Because that is something where I really believe AI can contribute.
Yeah, thank you. It's an elaborate answer for an big topic.
Yes.
As well, we see another question coming in, and this is a question from a chief compliance officer. And the questions I'm also going to direct it to you, Martijn, as an expert in this field. It is about, we previously were discussing a workflow that is super important to support your global, let's say, a whistleblowing program with a strong workflow. So meaning involving those also local entities and professions, so investigation and compliance people. The question is, what is a learning you can share when it comes to workflow design and investigations? What is a big struggle you often see?
Yeah, well, I think one of the most recent struggles that we are seeing now, I guess it's not a recent struggle, but it is more and more an issue where people are now, experiencing the pain points, because people want to have a really good process, because the investigations are about sensitive topics. You want to make sure that the people that you involve and the processes around it are very solid. But you oftentimes need other people that don't have anything to do with investigations to contribute to your case. But yeah, do you then send them an email that in principle, everybody can also access?
It's about the confidentiality of the data.
Yeah, so it's about the confidentiality of the basically the requests that you do to HR or to accounts or to somebody in contract management, where you say, look, I want to know from this or that period all the contracts undersigned by that individual, for whatever reason in that investigation. So you want to have a diligent process of setting out those tasks. And I hear that for that, it's a really big frustration for investigations individuals that they have to chase those tasks. It's unclear where are those tasks positioned. And this is really where concrete workflow and a system supporting the task management can contribute, so that you just say, for this person, I want to have that information. And the system chases the person with some reminders and things like that. Okay. Person can just upload the information without seeing the entire case. And these kind of things is really where the workflow can
basically, we say in modern life, a whistleblower case can be complex because we have multiple stakeholders around such a case. You need to involve them.
Yeah.
And what you say is that's a challenge for a global investigations team. So
because not everybody of those stakeholders should know everything.
Yeah, exactly.
But you want everything in one central place. And that is something that brings some challenges around the process. And this is why you need that flexibility.
The flexibility is in the technology and in the workflow.
Yeah,
absolutely. And what tip can you, because that was the question we got here online, is what is a tip when you design a strong workflow? Maybe you can give one or two concrete tips.
Well, the system that you work with should facilitate that you can build in certain blockers, right? To move from an in-process stage to a closed stage, there should be blockers available to you.
That's a good tip. So
it is one of the concrete tips. Yeah, and I hope your system provides that to you and you can build that in there.
Yeah.
Right, and the other one is being able to really flexibly manage access. And you can have a basic process for that in place, but as reality kicks in, you'll see you need to deviate. So you need flexibility to, on ad hoc basis, deviate from the access process, for example. So these are two really concrete elements that you should be able to rely on to build a good process.
Cool. Yeah, I think those are practical tips. Maybe a third one to round this up, but I've learned in the last years in my advice to these organizations is another one is I think it's vital is that please write down your whole investigations workflow. So oftentimes we visit multinationals and one of my first question is, can you please give me a full overview of your global investigations, a workflow? And oftentimes there is not one fixed overview. So I think that's a very pragmatic step and tip, please. Yeah, integrate that.
That's definitely true. Would make also our lives more easy if there is a nice documented work process
so,
to review. Absolutely. Good point.
But then we can discuss investigations and whistleblowing for a long time. We are passionate about the topic, so that's good. I really enjoyed having you here today. And also want to thank our listeners for sending out interesting questions. We have not answered all of them, but we will do and we'll come back to you. So, what we also will do is we will share a survey with you. So we are eager to learn and how we can improve sharing our knowledge with you. Please share tips and also feedback with us. We will definitely work on that. For the rest, we also have a paper we can share with you. So after the webinar, you can leave your contact details, and Martijn try to put his tips and best practices into a white paper. So we are happy to share that with you. And looking forward to meet you in our next webinar. And thank you for listening. Thank you, Martijn.
Yeah, thank you very much. It was a pleasure.
Thank you.